Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, he's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. John Schmuck, Lance Meadow with you. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Sorry for the slightly tardy beginning to the program. We had a mandated HR meeting we had to get to. So both Dave, who's running the TriCaster, and me, we had to be in there. So let out a little bit later than we thought, but we're here. We're ready to go. And, well, here we go, Lance. I know you touched on it yesterday with Fegels a lot, but I figure we'll do a little bit on Dallas before we go on to the Saints. Nothing really new out of the conference calls yesterday with Tom Coughlin, Devon Kennard, and Odell Beckham Jr. No real news out of that, per se. So I guess, in general, coming off this game, and I think it's really been a theme the entire season, you know, you take a look at some of the overall numbers, and they don't jump off the page at you, except for one. And we've seen with teams in the past, in fact, you go back to when the Saints won the Super Bowl, this is a big reason they went as far as they did. The Giants' turnover ratio right now is off the charts. They've done a great job taking the ball away from other teams, 16. They've done a great job protecting the football, just 6.
Correct.
Giveaways. So right now, the Giants are plus 10, which in a season where they've only played 7 games is really an astronomical number. To be almost an average of plus 1.5, I think they're about average of plus 1.3 per game in terms of turnovers, is a great number. And they hope when Steve Spagnuolo got here last year that the defense would become more opportunistic, and that's been the case. And the second year into the offense of Ben McAdoo, Eli Manning really has a measure on things, and he's able to protect the football.
Well, and you mentioned takeaways. Not only is it the defense, John, but let's not overlook what special teams has done too this season. I think that's really stood out. That's been impressive. And I'm not just talking about the Dwayne Harris return for a touchdown. Miles White recovers the muff punt by Cole Beasley. And then let's not forget about Rashad Jennings blocking a punt too earlier in the season against the Washington Redskins. So they're getting that opportunistic play from special teams on top of the defense. And it's been very rare that we've seen that over the last few years for the Giants. I threw this out yesterday. You know, the last time the Giants had an interception return for a touchdown and a special teams return for a touchdown, you got to go back to the 1950s. So clearly, there's been a long time, a long period in between those opportunistic types of touchdowns. But they've been very aggressive. They're cashing in more often than not on these takeaways, with the exception of the Eagles game. Outside of that, you know, most of these games, they've been taking these takeaways, and they've been obviously turning it into points. So that's the key, because it's one thing, John, you know, if you collect all these takeaways, if you don't get points off of them, it's absolutely meaningless. But I think they're getting a nice mixture of both.
201-939-4513. You're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmuck, Lance Meadow with you. And the Giants, of course, coming off a big win against the Dallas Cowboys, 27-20. They look ahead to the Saints. And Lance, offensively for the Giants, I still think the one really good sign from this past game is that they're running the ball much better. And I think we've seen it for a couple weeks now. The yards per carry has inched up and over that 4.0 number, where you want to be above that. When you talk about yards per carry, it gets you into second and reasonable, gets you into third and short, which is exactly where you want to be. And, you know, I don't see Orleans Darkwa stepping in here and being the guy, period. I don't think that's how this is going to go. I think it's going to be a big share the load type of deal. I think, I mean, it's crazy to say this because I've always said in the past that 4 running backs don't work and it's hard to make 3 work. So I think eventually someone's going to be shut out of this equation if Darkwa continues to be affected. I'm guessing that guy's going to be Andre Williams. But for now, I think you're going to see a situation where you get maybe 10 carries for Jennings, 9 for Darkwa, 2 or 3 for Williams, 3 or 4 for Vereen. They'll rotate the third down snaps will still go mostly towards Shane Vereen, I think. But this is going to be interesting next couple of games to see how they handle these running backs.
Well, as you noted, and it was interesting because even Tom Coughlin brought this up earlier in the week, John, it's difficult to balance the load with 4 running backs because you're worried about rhythm. You know,
right.
Guys, in order to get into rhythm, you need the carries. And he was pressed about Andre Williams right before this last contest, and Tom Coughlin's answer to the reporters was, you know, we got to try to find ways to get Andre Williams the ball a little bit more to perhaps increase his production. Not necessarily his workload, but you assume more carries you give a running back, you know, more consistency you're going to show in terms of the running production. Now all of a sudden you throw Darkwood into the mix, it'll be very interesting, as you mentioned, you know, how they balance things out and how the rhythm plays out. Darkwood, you got to give him a lot of credit, John. He only had 8 carries and he averaged 6 yards per carry, so that was impressive, and he really hadn't played much of a role at all in terms of their last few games. So there are some running backs that, hey, you call their number, they jump in off the sideline, and in the blink of an eye, they can go to work. There's other running backs that have to really get into the flow of the game, and I think we got a wide variety of those type of backs on this team right now.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that's interesting, and we should give our mea culpas, we got a couple calls last week about Orleans Darkwood, and we kind of said, no, you know what, I'd be pretty happy with the job the guys are doing, but to Darkwood's credit, we were incorrect. He came in, did an excellent job. So for the fans that were calling for him, good work out of you. He came in and did yeoman's work. But, you know, go ask the Steelers when it comes to Landry Jones. A lot of times it's easier to step in off the bench and get something done. Doing it week after week after you become a bigger part of the offense, that's a different challenge.
Well, absolutely, because now Orleans Darkwood is all of a sudden on film. So you have more documentation. I don't know how much teams are going back and looking at the Giants preseason games, John, but it was funny because when I was watching the game, I was monitoring Twitter, and a lot of the Cowboys beat writers on Twitter were like, who's Orleans Darkwood?
Well, yeah,
so they themselves,
absolutely.
You know, never heard about him. Obviously, Giants fans who are passionate about the team, you know, for those of us who cover the team, we know of Darkwood because of what he did in the preseason. Let's not forget, he was a key contributor on special teams last season. It wasn't as if, you know, Darkwood just came out of the woodworks. He just never had an opportunity to contribute as a running back.
He had a handful of rushes the last couple of games last year, but that was
he had
it
a touchdown
a lot. Late, yeah.
But not much of anything.
No, not at all.
In terms of volume.
Now, a couple of other interesting things we could touch on today, folks. And I know, I'm sure, a lot of you people, so I'll try to preempt this by saying it now. I'm sure a lot of you people have been out there listening to all the reports on JPP, this and that, this and that. Situation we're in here, folks, until the Giants make an announcement as to what's going on, there's really nothing much we can add except for this. This, as it has been for a while now, is a medical situation. It's a financial situation. He has to be ready to play and cleared by the doctors, and once that happens, he has to come to an agreement with the team on how kind of deal he's going to play under. So those are really the two things in play here. We don't have any information on either side of that. The Giants have not released any information on either side of that. So until that happens, there's really not much more we can say about it. If you want to call in and ask about it, that's great. I'll repeat to you exactly what I just said, so will Lance, but that's pretty much all we have with that. One of the quick things.
Well, I was just going to add, just in terms of the logistics, until November 17th, that's the deadline to sign the franchise tender, just in terms of the calendar based on NFL rules and regulations.
And the other rule, too, is that the rule being that you can only see a player twice. So, you know, if the Giants have in fact seen him for a second time, all the reports say that they have. The Giants have not confirmed that. This would be the last time that, you know, they could see him again if that meeting did in fact take place. So, that's another thing to keep in mind. One other thing I want to touch on, Lance, before we get to your calls, and then hopefully you guys can carry us through the rest of the show at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Will Beatty, I think it's an interesting situation. They have him on PUP. They have the opportunity to take him off in a couple of weeks. That's the, you know, amount of time they have to watch him in practice to determine whether or not they think he's ready to play and contribute. And as we stand now, he worked in practice last week, didn't do a lot of team stuff, but he was on the side doing individuals in that period of practice, things of that nature. I think it's an interesting conversation about how the Giants should handle him coming back. And the universal thought seems to be put him at right tackle and have Flowers stay out there at left tackle. I'm not sure I'm necessarily in favor of that, because to me, Beatty is somebody that's always played left tackle, spare a couple games his rookie year when he was a swing tackle. His strength is mobility and his feet, which obviously is more important at left tackle than it is at right tackle. You want a stronger, more powerful player at right tackle. Someone coming back from a pec injury, that's something he's going to be developing over the course of the year. That strength doesn't just come back, you know, the snap of a finger. So Flowers has experience on the right side. I think his profile as a power player fits there pretty well. He's done great for a rookie, but, you know, there's still areas that he needs to get better out of the left side, be more consistent. That's how I would handle it. And I think there are really good arguments to handling it both ways. And I would completely understand if the Giants decided, look, we think Wobeidi can step in, be a good right tackle right away. Let's not mess with the rookie. Let him settle on a left tackle. Let him be our left tackle for 10 or 15 years. That's a completely logical way to look at it, and I think it would be also a smart move if they did it that way. But I think the Giants have a real interesting decision of how and where they want to work Wobeidi back into the starting lineup.
Well, and that's why these next few weeks of practice, to me, are so important, because you can experiment a little. You know, just because Flowers is your left tackle doesn't mean you can't line him up on the right side and practice a little
Correct.
Bit just to see how the offensive line clicks and so forth. You know, it's a good problem to have.
Oh, absolutely.
As I always say, it's essentially like acquiring a player midseason to get Wobeidi back at this point, considering how well the offensive line has performed for the most part. So to add Wobeidi now in the mix, I mean, now you're giving yourself depth. I agree with your rationale 100%, John. I mean, in terms of Ereck Flowers from a physical perspective, big bruiser, a guy that you put on the right side, you want to run the ball off the right tackle, he's going to move some guys out of the way, and you should be able
guys.
To get some running lanes out of that. Whereas Beattie, based on his experience, it makes sense to put him back at left tackle. If they go the opposite way, I'm sure it'll work out too. But, you know, right now I think it's important during practice to toy a little bit with that, use this time wisely, because you have 21 days from the time that Beattie starts practicing. That's what the rule book allows. So 3 weeks worth of time, fit guys in and out. They did that with Pugh. They did that with some of the guys on the right side in training camp. There's no reason why they can't do that a little bit in practice.
Well, it'll be interesting to see when they believe Beattie's ready. When do they think he's physically able to step in and play the offensive line, not just play it, but be effective and be good at it. So that'll be something else to keep an eye on as we move forward.
And the other thing, if you just go based on track record here, and correct me if I'm wrong, John, when David Deal returned from injury, you know, he was slowly worked back into the offensive line. It wasn't as if, voila, let's put him back in a spot. He'd be that swing tackle and so forth. So maybe that's the approach, too, for Wobeidi. He doesn't all of a sudden regain a starting job.
Maybe he plays 20, 25 snaps the first game.
And then progressively they work him back into a starting role.
Possible. And no question about it. The Giants certainly do have options. All right, let's get to the calls at 201-939-4513. We'll take you the rest of the way. Fans, don't forget Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. All right, let's go to the phones, Lance. Mark in Maryland is up first. Mark, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, Jeff and Lance?
Or John.
Yeah, man, you know me always following what the Giants are doing. My question to you guys is the run, stopping the run. I feel that, you know, getting down into the red zone, probably 3-yard line, we're not able to punch it in. And I think that's going to come back and bite us if we do get into the playoffs or so, as far as whatever team we may go against. The other thing I wanted to bring up was that Larry Donnell, he's like summer, winter, fall. You know, he's not there really, you know, he really hasn't shown anything still to me. And but stopping the run is my main concern with the Giants. We're doing good, but last week's game, what's his name? I've got the running back's name, but he got like 150, 160 yards.
Darren McFadden, you talk about. Yeah. We're still listening there. Yeah, Mark? Yeah.
Yeah, finish up, Mark.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Thanks for the call, pal.
We appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Succinct, we like it.
Yeah, right to
the point. Yeah, look, I think if you want to, you know, put an underline and a highlight and an exclamation point on something that you want to get better moving forward, it's the run defense. And I think one thing that'll help is that Devon Kennard just made it back last week, and he only played about 20 snaps. You hope him stepping in a linebacker can continue to solidify that run defense. Robert Ayers came back for the first time last week, too. Maybe those guys in there for a couple weeks in a row, you might be able to get things a little bit better up front.
George Selvey also recently returned, too, and he's very good at stopping the run. They're slowly getting back to full health. They had missed some of these pieces. Everybody wasn't on the field at the same time. So, you know, that certainly could be a contributing factor as to why the numbers have fluctuated. But the numbers don't lie. Each of the last three games, the opponent has had at least 124 yards, whereas in the first batch of games, they had at most 88. So there has been a drop-off, and the Giants, we're talking 4 weeks ago, were the number one rushing defense. So that is something that they're certainly going to look into. Devon Kennard, even on the conference call yesterday, John mentioned, that was a big focal point as part of the discussion when they were reviewing the film from this Cowboys game. Hey, why all of a sudden, you know, when we been such a good, stingy group in stopping the run, why are we now all of a sudden allowing big running plays? That's something they're going to have to work out.
Yeah, and it was a lot of downhill, up the middle, you know, straight ahead type of runs. The Cowboys don't want McFadden, you know, cutting and doing a lot of bouncing. They want straight ahead power football, and they did a real good job against the Giants defense in that game, something they're going to have to shore up. And especially, you know, that keeps the defense on the field, Lance. And, you know, you take a look at this game, and I'll bring up the box score. You look at the time of possession. The Cowboys held the ball for almost 40 minutes. I think it was 38 and change. The Giants only had it for 21 and change. So that's something that puts your offense in a hole then. And if the defense is – luckily, they didn't give up that many touchdowns against the Cowboys in the game because of those takeaways. But if the offense isn't on the field a whole lot, all of a sudden they feel pressure to make a lot of big plays very quickly. You might expose some weaknesses in terms of pass protection against good pass rushers, and that's when you start running into trouble.
Well, and also you wear your defense down, too, when they're on the field that much longer than the offense.
Absolutely.
That's another thing to note, too, because, as you mentioned, time of possession. And what's been impressive, actually, at least from the Cowboys' perspective, John, you know, last year, remember, the Dallas was like 1-2 all season long in time of possession, and everybody assumed DeMarco Murray is lost, Dez Bryant's hurt, Tony Romo's hurt, you know, the numbers are going to fluctuate. Impressively, Dallas has been up there in the top five in time of possession.
Are they still
season.
Really?
Yeah, they're number four right now.
That's
and actually, I think they moved back to number one. They were number four heading into this week. And I think they took over sole possession of first place.
Well, 38 minutes will do that for you.
Absolutely. That will do the trick. Yeah, that's what happens when you get pounded the football.
201, then the Giants want to run the ball better, too. We mentioned they did do a better job last week. 201-939-4513. Ryan's in New Jersey. Ryan, what's going on, pal?
Hey, gentlemen. I just want to say right off the top, thank you guys for the show. I love it. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
I used to work at a lumber yard. I used to have someone to talk to football all the time, and since then I don't work there anymore. It's been, I listen to your show every day just to try to get my Giants fix in.
Appreciate that.
Happy to be of assistance.
Thank you. Quick question. JPP with, I remember, I think it was last year or the year before, Von Miller had a cast, like a club on his arm. And he was still playing at a pretty high level with that. I was wondering if that was something that would have to be done or considered to get him back on the field, or is it the fact more like the Giants, if he plays, are going to have to pay him top dollar. If they're going to pay him top dollar, they want him to be 100% healthy.
Well, I mean, I think what they end up negotiating is going to have a lot to do with the first question on the medical stuff. I mean, I'm not in there with the doctors looking at his hand, so we don't know what the, you know, eventual decision is going to be made on that, what it's going to take. But I'm sure they'll try to figure out if he's healthy enough to get back onto the field and play. They'll equip him with whatever's necessary to make sure he's able to go out there, be effective, and most importantly, not re-injure himself. And that's really what they're going to do, Lance. They're going to give him the best chance to succeed with the medical information that they get off their examination.
Well, and that's why the first obstacle, if you want to describe it that way, comes with the doctors. I mean, you got to get
medical
approval.
Appreciate the call, bud.
Ryan, thanks so much for weighing in. You have to get medical approval before you make the next step to determine what else you want to do. And there's still a lot of question marks, obviously, surrounding JPP. But in terms of the last caller's question, I'm sure the medical experts would try to fit him with the appropriate apparel so that he could protect his hand. I mean, you could go based on history. Even guys who have had broken arms, broken hands, you know, they usually have the club around their arm, and they have gone out there and they've played games. So we've seen that before. I think Robert Ayers was even talking about back in the day, whether it be in high school or college, you know, he hurt his hand and he had played with a club on it. We saw with Sean Lee for the Dallas Cowboys, I remember when he returned. So, I mean, it's quite common, not necessarily the severity of this injury, but the medical experts, I'm sure, will experiment with respect to that to determine what the next step is regarding JPP.
201-939-4513. Charlie in Portland, Maine. What's up, Chuckles?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
What's going on, Charlie? How are you, Charlie?
Hey, John, can you tell me about JPP? I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Wonderful. Great material, Charlie.
Charlie, see, this is why you're on Def Comedy Jam. It's because of lines like that.
It's unbelievable.
Hey, I got a couple of things, though. About Beattie. You got to put Beattie back at left tackle. He's a left tackle. Flowers should have been on the right side anyway. Being a rookie, he would be better there. And like you said, he is a run blocker. He's big. He's, you know, so I don't think it's a no-brainer. When Beattie's ready and he's healthy, that's where you put him. You put him back at left, and Flowers will do better. He'll be better at right tackle than he is at left tackle right now. So in the running back situation, you've got to decide on two running backs. You can't have four. Because nobody gets into a rhythm. Nobody, you know, gets anything going. There's no synchronicity. You've got to have two. You got to say, these are my two running backs. Everybody else in the league has two running backs. They don't have four that they're interchanging. Maybe three, and they might have a third down guy. But you got to decide who is your best option. It seems like Williams is a type of back, like Jacobs, who needs to play many snaps to be effective. And, you know, he's a power guy. He'll wear people down eventually. But the thing is, he will never get those snaps. So you might as well sit him on the bench and decide between having Jennings and Dacqua or just Jennings and Vereen as your two running backs and give them most of the snaps. Because doing it this way is insane. No one is gonna excel by doing that.
Well, Charlie, and, I don't mean to cut you off. I completely understand where you're coming from, and you know, I'm looking at the numbers from this last contest. It is unique that not one running back had double digits in carries. You figure usually one running back gets 10 carries on a given game, and then everybody else balances out the rest. Yet with that being said, Charlie, they are coming off a game where they had a season-high 132 rushing yards and a season-high in terms of yardage per carry. Now, that doesn't mean that this is going to happen every single week. But
and by the way, a big part of that was Shane Vereen's one long 39-yard run.
Which was a season-high for any running back this year, too. But, I mean, I think it is interesting that without a running back getting double digits in carries, they actually were extremely productive.
Yeah, and Charlie, I want to add this, too. You know, I happen to agree. I don't think you can get a guy into a great rhythm splitting between four guys. But, you know, if they want to work it this way, to me, this is how you work it. I think you use Shane Vereen as your third down back. You're not going to get him a lot of carries. It'll be mostly stuff in terms of a pass receiver. Maybe you'll get him a draw here or there on third and long, things like that. The goal line, that's where you use Andre Williams because he has the power to put his foot in the ground and just, you know, bull rush and power into the end zone. And then between the 20s, that's when you rotate Darkwell and Jennings and, you know, get them both probably somewhere between 7 and 10 carries a game, maybe a little bit more than that. So if you're going to work it this way, I think that's the best way to probably do it. But I do think some running backs require a lot of carries to get into a rhythm. And I think trying to split between four guys can sometimes make it difficult, unless the way the Giants will do it now is that they'll ride a hot hand. So if one running back looks especially good in one game, then maybe one of the other three won't play at all in that particular game if somebody's hot. Maybe they'll search and they'll scratch until somebody shows that they're hot. Then they'll go to that guy primarily. Those are all different ways that they can handle it.
Yeah, well, they didn't handle it in the Cowboy game because Dacqua was really hot and they sat him. So it doesn't seem like that's in their plan. I don't know. But anyway, I'm glad we won. Thank goodness we did. And I just want to say, you know, our run defense, I mean, you gotta understand, as soon as we inserted Kuhn back in the starting lineup, our running defense went down the toilet.
Yeah, but Charlie, Kuhn barely played. I know, but he barely played against San Francisco. He only played, I think, 15 snaps in that game, and Carlos Hyde had a big second half. You can't put that all on Marcus Kuhn.
Well, the last two games I'm putting it on him. A lot of it is on Kuhn. But anyway, and the other thing is, did you watch the Arizona game last night?
I did.
You know, I'm so tired of people saying, well, why are these guys on the streets? They must be bad. No one's picked them up. Well, guess who played pretty well? Freeney played pretty well. We could have had Freeney. Do we need a pass rusher? I think we do. And guess who else played pretty well? Grissom, the tight end, a blocking tight end. He was blocking really well last night. You know what? He just got picked up maybe a month ago or less. So, please, I'm tired of hearing that. There's players out there that can play. We could have had both of those players, and we missed on both of them. We didn't even bring them in. And Freeney actually said, I'd like to be a Giant. He was interested. So there we go. So all I'm trying to say is, don't use that excuse because it's a dumb excuse. Just because they're on the street means they suck or they're bad or they're over or whatever. That's not true. So,
all right, Charlie.
There's two guys right there.
Thank you, pal.
Bad.
And
Charlie,
that's all a right, good Charlie. Job, too. Because you always get in Charlie about not having names. And not bringing the heavy artillery, he brought two names there. So good job bringing the names. I'm still not sold on Dwight Freeney being a long-term, big-time contributor, but
And Jermaine Gresham also played because Darren Fells, Daniel Fells' younger brother, missed that game. He was banged up. Not that that doesn't mean he doesn't have value, but Jermaine Gresham is not getting in the game nearly as much if Darren Fells is fully healthy. They have a number of tight ends on that team.
Different scheme, too. You're not asking the same thing out of him in that system that you would hear and all that sort of
stuff.
Well,
and here's one other thing, John. I mean, for him to say about, you know, guys coming off the street and that, you know, teams shouldn't look at them, I don't think that's necessarily the case pertaining to the Giants, because, I mean, they did bring in Jake Long a few times. It wasn't as if they haven't been doing their due diligence and at least looking at these options.
They've rotated people on and off the practice squad all season.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just a matter of whether or not that player is a good fit for this team as opposed to perhaps a fit elsewhere. That's what it comes down to.
And if it's a name you recognize. I mean, Charlie recognizes Gresham. He recognizes Freeney. He maybe didn't know who Miles White was. I don't blame him. He was on a practice squad somewhere. You maybe don't know who the McGee is, the corner they brought in last week.
Brandon
so
McGee, yeah.
They are bringing guys in to fit roles. They just might not be the big veteran names that some people might know, but they are bringing people on and off the roster on a weekly basis to fill holes. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to our very busy phones and say hello to Ken in Trenton, New Jersey. Ken, what's going on, pal?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
How are you, Ken?
Doing well, Ken.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for
always a pleasure to talk to you guys. Diehard Giants fan over here. I want to actually defend Jerry Reese a little bit. The magic number seems to be 28. As far as I've seen, every game we've lost, we've failed to put up 28 points. And had we done that, we would have won all three of those games. That seems to be the stat in an article that I read last week. And it goes back to when Jerry Reese had that interview last year saying that, you know, we need to put up 28 points a game. And I believe this offense can do it. I think we got a good go at it. It's been stalling a little bit the last couple of weeks, but, you know, our defense has been doing the job. I would guess to say everybody says Jerry Reese should pick up this person and that person, and they're usually defensive players for the most part. And I feel like our defense is quite okay at the moment, and I think he's doing the right job by building an offense that could score 28 points a game and maybe ride this one out.
Hey, look, Ken, I think the offense is in very good shape. I think once you get the Beckham healthy, you get that hamstring healed, and he, you know, is playing in practice again every week. You hope that happens, and you know, over the next couple of weeks, you know, he's excited to play down in New Orleans this week, where he went to school at LSU, obviously. And look, there's a lot of talent. You get Will Beattie back, that'll help things. You know, Victor Cruz.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
You know, Victor Cruz. You don't want to count your eggs before they hatch and all that stuff. But these are things that you can take a look at as you move forward, where the offense is going to get better and better. And look, the defense has done a great job taking the ball away from the opponent, and I think that's really been their saving grace this year. They've done it really well. They've created scoring opportunities for the offense. They've had two defensive touchdowns this year. You have the special teams touchdown this week. So they've done their part, and they've really done a good job where they've bent and they've bent and they've bent. But, Lance, for the most part, they still haven't broken.
Well, and that's also a sign of a team that's somewhat well-balanced. I mean, you want to see the other facets of your team contribute as opposed to just have the offense. You know, I mean, I know you mentioned 28 is the magic number, and it'd be great if they scored 28 points every game, but there's going to be games where you go up against a good defense. So on the flip side, you know, your defense itself is going to have to step up to the plate as well as special teams. So it has been nice to see consistency in some of those other areas in terms of aggressiveness. Not necessarily in terms of the stats, but you know, you've had a takeaway from special teams. You've had a takeaway from defense. It's the offense that obviously once guys get fully healthy, perhaps you'll see a little bit more consistent flow.
Yeah, that I would love to see it. I have a lot of Giants on a lot of fantasy teams, mostly about Odell Beckham Jr., but you know, I'd like to see this offense, you know, fire on all cylinders and, you know, silence all the haters. I got a lot of haters over here, a lot of Eagles fans.
I'm sure you do, and Trenton.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, it's terrible. Another thing, I'd like to see Darkwood play more. I like the way he hit the hole the other night. I feel like when Andre Williams comes in, the defense cues on him, and he either has an awesome game and runs people over, or he gets stuffed and has trouble making it even back to the line of scrimmage. I don't know if you guys would replace Williams with Darkwa. I don't know. But I'd like to see him get more carries. And thanks for letting me call in, and you guys have a great day.
Well,
thanks,
appreciate
Ken. Appreciate
the phone call, Ken. Thanks so much. It's interesting because he was just talking about, you know, who Darkwa could replace in terms of snap count. And if you look at this last game, John, it was Darkwa eating into Rashad Jennings' snaps as opposed to anybody else if you compared the breakdown of snaps from this Cowboys game to the other contest. So, I mean, on the surface, I would say I think Darkwa is similar to Jennings' role as opposed to Vereen or Andre Williams. So if he's going to eat into anybody's workload, I would assume it's going to be Jennings. That could change. I think we'll probably have a different rotation, a different feel for things in this next contest. But at least based on this one game, Darkwa took away snaps from Jennings as opposed to any other running back. That'll be something to monitor moving forward.
I got a little math here. Now, so would you consider? Yeah, I do. Would you consider Odell Beckham to be having a good year, down year? Just without looking at the numbers, just your feel from watching him every week, like. How would you consider a sophomore season so far?
I would say it's a quiet sophomore season. That's how I would describe it.
Okay. Well, right now, actually, I'll do it this way instead. What do you think if you took his numbers and you projected them out the rest of the year? Through 7, projected the 16. I just did the math right here.
Yeah.
How many catches, how many yards do you think he'll have if he does exactly what he does in the final 9 games that he did in the first 7 in terms of a per-game basis?
I would say he probably would finish with, I don't know, about 1,100 receiving yards.
How many catches?
I want to say catches 85, 90.
He would finish with 96 receptions for just under 1,200 yards.
Okay.
So you're actually closer than I thought you would be.
Well, I mean, I'll admit, I have looked at his numbers recently, so I sort of was able to estimate based on that.
And I think the way I look at it is that people have reacted like, oh, he's not the same impact, this and that. It shows you exactly how ridiculous his last 7 games were last year. Where you're like, 96 yards and 1,200 yards. Boy, he's not playing that well. It shows you how unbelievably good he was last year.
You should compare it to that.
That 100 catches and 1,200 yards, is, and he's on pace for, I think, 4 touchdowns, probably 9 or 10 touchdowns. I mean, that's a Pro Bowl year for a wide receiver. And some fans are like, oh, he's just not giving it to us.
Well, I think the other thing you need to look at when you evaluate Odell Beckham specifically this season, John, think about the coverage he's getting.
Yeah.
And the attention that he's drawing.
Absolutely.
See, that has value. Even if you don't make catches and you don't have receiving yards or touchdowns, the defense is reacting to your mere presence on the field. So I think that is something to also take into consideration. You know, on top of that, he's dealt with some injuries. So that was not something that he had to deal with, at least in the later stages of last season. You know, all of those factors tend to add up. But he's out there. He's drawing attention. The defenses are respecting him. It's not as if, you know, they're just putting one man on him. That's why it's so important. And one of the things we've talked about so much in this first half of the season, other wide receivers taking advantage, and even Ben McAdoo mentioned this, of the one-on-ones, whether it be the running backs or the other wide receivers. You know, Randall made plays in the last game in the limited snaps that the offense had. The tight ends have been involved here or there. It was relatively quiet in terms of the running backs as receivers, but, you know, that's going to make the difference for this offense. It's not so much, can Odell Beckham get 10 catches every game, John? It's about what is the rest of that group doing each and every contest.
His impact is reflected in the numbers and the success of those other guys. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. We'll go over Jeff Fiegel's picks right at the end of the show. He actually did a pretty good job this
really?
Week.
Really? Wow, he'd be happy to hear that, actually, because now he's a Debbie Downer since you laid into him last time.
Well, I have to do that. You know what? He did okay. He did okay. It wasn't great. He did okay.
All right. Well,
there weren't any total busts.
We'll be able to determine that
shortly. There weren't any total busts of his 3 selections. Well,
that's always a positive.
Well, he hasn't had one of those weeks yet.
Well, the true test is whether or not people who listened to his advice actually took it to DraftKings.
Do you really think people are listening to him at this point?
Well, you always claim that nobody listens to anybody other than you, so I might as well not even ask you that question. Keep patting yourself on the back over there. I'll move over to give you more space.
Let's go to Rick in Tampa. He's up next. Rick, what's going on? I had no comeback for that one. Rick, what's up?
That's good.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How we doing, Rick?
Good. Real. What you were just talking about. I mean, Odell Beckham is him. The coverage on him is exactly what's freeing up for these other guys to catch it when it's thrown to them. And you know, Randall makes great, you know, one-arm catch, but then right over the middle drops it. That inconsistency we've seen throughout the season with all the other receivers on the team besides Odell. So they're getting their chances because they're double-coveraging him. So looking forward to, and this is part B of the question was that after the bye week, do I see the Giants with Cruz out there, JPP, and doing his thing, maybe out there playing as well? And then with Cruz back, finally, he's got to get back. It'll just change Odell Beckham for the rest of the season, I just think, immensely. So I've been saying that a lot, and I still stand by that. But what I was going to say originally was that words that you don't generally hear with the Giants is special teams, opportunistic, and turnovers. Those three words you never hear from the Giants for years. And then now you're hearing it all the time, which I think is a good thing. And that's one of the things despite, you know, the way they played most of the game against the Cowboys, you got to remember, we had them beat the first time, too, and we blew it. So we were kind of allowed to play a weird game and win it because that's what we did, and we should have won the first time we played them, you know?
No, you're absolutely right. And so many of wins and losses across the National Football League have to do with taking advantage of opportunities. Look at the Arizona Cardinals in the game last night. You know, when the quarterback threw their defensive backs the ball, they caught the ball. They didn't drop them. They held on. And, you know, in one case where the Giants didn't take advantage of it was when Reuben Randall couldn't come up with that deep post. So, you know, there are certain I said this a few weeks ago. Bill Parcells said to Bob Papa a long time ago, and Papa shared this story with me, that over the course of the game there are maybe a half dozen or, you know, 3 to 6 or so, you know, defining plays that'll determine who wins and who loses a game and how a game goes. You know, and the team that makes the majority of those plays is the team that's most likely going to win. And if you look over the course of this year, and this wasn't the case the last two seasons, in the Buffalo game, Rashad Jennings breaks 3 tackles, has a long touchdown. The special teams blocks great for Dwayne Harris. He returns a kickoff for a touchdown. And I'm trying to remember the
Larry
other play.
Larry Dinnell against the Niners.
And Larry Dinnell going up there with guys hanging all over him, coming down with the ball in his hands against the 49ers. The Giants this year are making those plays, now not all the time, but more often than not, and especially more often than they have the last couple of seasons.
Right. More than we've ever seen. Exactly. And I'll just throw that question back out to you before I hang up. Oh, also, I agree 100%. I was watching when Darko was playing, and I love his energy and everything. But yeah, it was Rashad Jennings' carries he was taking. So I was curious of how that was going to play out because he can't replace an Andre Williams. Even though I like the way he runs better than Andre's been running this year, he seems to be running into people too much and not going anywhere, unlike he did this week. But so they'll have to work that out because he is taking his carries away, definitely, and they're going to have to kind of work that two-back system there somehow to keep his energy in there. But what do you think after the bye? Do you see that? Do you see our lineup being Cruz on that one end, JPP possibly on a three-point stance or kind of standing like LT used to do?
Well, you hope. Look, Rick, I mean, you hope. I mean, these are injuries, and thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. You just don't know. I mean, you hope that's the case. I don't know if you count on it, because when you count on stuff that doesn't show up, then you're burned. But I think you hope that's the case. I think you hope you get here, and over the next few weeks, you get Beattie back too, throw him into the mix as well. You get Cruz back on the field at some point, and who knows what the heck's going to happen with JPP. You hope that he shows up at some point, and you hope that he plays like the guy that was here the last half of last year. Who knows if he's physically capable of doing it. Maybe he'll play like he did the first half of last year. Who knows? But the more talented guys, Lance, you have on the field, the better off you're going to be.
Well, I keep emphasizing the fact that name me a team, John, you know, once the trade deadline passes, that could bring back Victor Cruz, JPP, and Will Beattie.
Very
hard to name another team that's been in that situation.
The only two teams in the league that could probably say that are the Giants and the Cowboys. You know, the
Cowboys
are going to get back Romo and Dez
Bryant,
and they just got back McClain and Hardy. And Joseph Randall, who knows how long he's going to be out. And the Giants are going to get back those three guys, which are all Pro Bowl caliber players. So, you know, I could see potential big second halves for both those teams. And I think when all is said and done, I think those are going to be the two teams going to be battling at the end of the year. I think the Eagles will be dangerous. I think they'll be in the mix too. And I'm not sure they'll be eliminated by that final week of the year. But I do think they're going to have some ups and downs here unless Sam Bradford starts playing some better football.
Yeah, he's been turnover prone. I think they dodged a bullet, though. It looks like Jason Peters is going to come back after the bye.
Oh, is he really?
Tackle. Yes, it wasn't as serious as they anticipated.
Was it a back for him or was it... Or,
No, I think it was a leg injury, but it wasn't obviously a torn ligament, which it appeared to be, or like an Achilles injury.
It definitely looked like an Achilles injury, the way he fell. Absolutely.
Yeah. The latest report that I saw, and obviously things are subject to change, it looks like Chip Kelly said he anticipates having him back after the bye. So that does change, perhaps, the dynamics of their team. You know, one other thing I wanted to throw out here before we get back to the phone calls, and this relates to what Rick threw out when, you know, you talk about the Giants in light of opportunistic play, whether it be special teams. I brought up the breakdown of turnovers and takeaways from last season, John, just to see through 7 weeks.
Probably ugly.
What it was like. You know what? It's not as bad as we may have thought. They had 13 takeaways through 7 games last season compared to 16 this season. So that's not that big of a difference. The biggest difference is the turnovers. They had 12 turnovers through 7 games.
So
they had six.
They had twice as many last
year. So they've cut that in half. So you had a +1 turnover differential through the first 7 games last season. It's now +10. You've taken care of the football in those 7 games compared to last year. That's the biggest difference.
Yeah, right, you know, they had those two big turnover games. I didn't think about that. They had those two big takeaway games against the Texans. I'm trying to think of who the Texans' quarterback was in that game.
Was it Fitzpatrick?
It was,
yeah,
right?
It was.
And then you had, of course, when they played the Redskins, and Kirk Cousins was the quarterback. So there were, is that nine?
Nine in that two-game stretch.
Yeah.
Week 3 and week 4 last season.
That'll do it. And then in the other 5 games, there were only 4. So those 2 games really swung that number big time last year. So the impact wasn't felt over all the games. They were really concentrated in those 2. And by the way, no surprise, which 2 games did the Giants win? Those 2 where they had
all the takeaways.
Of course,
yeah. Well, because keep in mind, and that came after 2 games in which they had no takeaways in the first 2 games. And if you look at the numbers this season, I don't even think there's a game where they had no takeaways. I'll bring up the chart.
Did the Falcons turn it over?
It's spread out. You know what? The Falcons game. That's it. That's the one game they did not have a
takeaway. I don't think the Falcons.
Eli Manning had the fumble in that game. Atlanta played clean football.
I think the Falcons. Right. I don't think the Falcons turned it over in that game. I could be wrong.
No, you're definitely right about that.
I don't think they did.
From what I recall. And I'll bring up the chart just to confirm that.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. We got 3 calls. We got 10 minutes. We got Fiegel's Fantasy Review. Len in Columbia, Maryland's up next. Leonard.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Len. You sound like you're on the cell phone today, man.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, I'm sitting in a parking lot listening to your show.
Wow! Look at the dedication.
It really is a good show today. Great balls.
What parking lot? Of a store or a school? Where are you?
did you ask me where I was?
Yes. Yeah. What parking lot?
I'm actually in a parking lot in Vienna, Virginia.
Wow!
I tell you, I go across state lines to listen to you guys.
Where the heck is Vienna, Virginia, and what's in Vienna, Virginia, that you're in a parking lot?
Well, I just got my hair cut from my favorite person.
Nice.
And I look like $1 million, and you know, I'm getting ready for that Tampa trip, John. So you know, I had to get my hair cut.
Gotta look good.
And we got a little Italian deli over here that we used to frequent a long time ago, and I'm going to pick up a couple of sandwiches and bring them back for the missus. And, you know, it's a great week to celebrate. What a wonderful win the other night.
Sounds like a great day, Len.
So, Len, wait, I'm fascinated by the haircut. We'll get to the Giant stuff after. That's the least of importance.
Okay.
Wait,
all
so
right.
You have to go across state lines to get a haircut? There's no one respectable within the Maryland region to kowtow to your needs?
John, there are many, but this lady's been cutting my hair now for over 20 years. She seems like a family member. I know her family. She knows my family. You know, there are things you tell your hair cutter that you never tell anybody else. And,
all the skeletons.
You know, my girl's the best. She's the best.
All right, Len. All right, Len. Finish up.
So that's why we used to live over this way, and that's how I, you know, first found her. And, the one thing she does do, John, that's really top notch, at the end of the haircut, you still with me, John?
I'm with you, I'm listening.
Here.
What, yeah. A lollipop? You get a lollipop?
At the end of the haircut, all I have to say to her, how does the back look? She never puts the mirror back there, she won't let me look back there, she says it looks great, and I think I have an idea why she does that. I probably don't have much back there anymore, John. But She never lets me take a look.
Hey, Len, I got plenty of hair back there. I just got no hair up here. That's the problem. And now question number two. I think the meatball parm is probably a little too sloppy for you. I see you more as an Italian sub guy. A little salami, a little ham,
That's
little pepperoni.
You got it.
Boom.
I'm
going to
order two Romans.
There you go.
You know, the old traditional Italian, you know, mixed peppers, sweet and hot, and it's gonna be a great afternoon when I finally get home.
All right, Len, bring it. What do you got in the Giants?
Okay, yeah. Hey, great win the other night. Real nice. And I just want to say it one more time. Remember, guys, it's Matt Castle. I'm not getting too excited about
Matt Castle finally showed up in the second half for you, Len. He's like, all right, let's show the true colors.
There you go. If you extrapolate out over nine more games, Castle will throw 27 interceptions.
That's a lot.
So, nice win. Now, you know, a couple of things, you know, just to follow along with you talking about guys making plays, you know, up and down the lineup from, you know, number one, Eli, and that when we got the ball down on the one-yard line, we're in a third down situation, and he throws that long pass to Randall, who made a wonderful catch along the sideline there, in front of the Cowboys bench that kind of bailed us out there, and you know, Harris with the kickoff return, Promari, you know, the stars played like stars, the guys who we expected, and even the bottom part of the lineup. I mean, you know, Darkwa, all of a sudden Darkwa comes in the game and makes some plays, and, you know, he's down at the bottom of that lineup, and, you know, right at the end, the fumble recovery. You know, Miles White, he's probably the 46th man on the roster on Sunday. How many times might we have expected a Giants guy to go down there, jump off up in the air, and the ball go off their hands? White grabbed it and came down with it. Game over.
And you know what, Len? The other thing I want to do real quick, too, I want to give some credit to Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. And yeah, Matt Castle, he made a mistake, that's fine. But especially on that second interception, I thought the first one, Terrence Williams ran a terrible route, and that allowed Cromartie to get the pick. But Cromartie knew the route combination on that second pick. He baited Matt Castle into the throw, ran right underneath the route. That was a phenomenal play by Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie.
Yes, it was. And there were plays like that by our big stars and others that, you know, got us into the, I mean, just a huge win. I look at it this way, guys. That win over Dallas the other night puts us in position to get into position. I don't want to do two games at a time, but, you know, these next two games, we'll start with Sunday. You know, we win Sunday and there's that two-game difference. We're 5-3. And we win the next week and there's a three-game difference. We're 6-3. This game put us in position to really get into position in the next couple of weeks. Again, one game at a time. We got to go to New Orleans. Listen, a couple of frustrations the other night. I thought we were a little conservative on offense. You know, the third down play before Wing punched the ball down the field and Miles White makes the play. You know, third down run with Darkwa. Also, I didn't think they did much different in this game than they did in the first game in terms of plays. On the other hand, I thought the Cowboys, I mean, how about the two end of rounds with that rookie Whitehead?
Yeah, Lucky Whitehead.
I mean, there was just some plays. I think Dallas came up with some new plays. I'm not sure that we had that.
Well,
you know,
but Len,
a lot of
Len,
new plays.
Len, that's not too surprising considering, remember, Dallas was coming off the bye, so they had an opportunity to self-reflect, evaluate, and all of a sudden make some tweaks.
We're coming off a Monday night game.
Short
absolutely.
Turnaround.
Very good point.
Yeah,
and
also, when you have a quarterback like Castle, you want to run some misdirection stuff so you keep the defense from making plays like the ones Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie did. The other play that they ran, too, it was the play-action fake end-around back to the screen pass, which could have been a touchdown until they called that offensive pass interference call. That was another clever play that they called.
Street.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes. And one more minor frustration on the defensive side.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still trying to figure out, have we got an identity on defense, or are we just going to play it? You know, patch it all together, you know, one game at a time here.
Bend but don't break, Len. Bend but don't break. That's the identity. Bend but don't break and take the ball away. That's the identity of this defense right now.
Okay. It worked. It's been working. We're 4-3. I'd love to be 8-6 and then 10-6. So, nice win. Let's go, Giants. Let's see if we can really capitalize starting
all right,
on
Len.
Sunday and put some distance between us and some other teams and you know, make a run toward the playoffs.
Thanks, Len.
All right, Len. Enjoy the deli
all right,
sandwich.
Take care.
You got it.
Send some pepperoni up here.
Yeah, absolutely. He should.
Let's go to Christian in New York. Christian, what do you got?
Hey, guys. It's been a while. Hope you're doing well.
Everything's well.
So, awesome game in Giants Stadium. You know, it's been a while since we beat Dallas. But something I wanted to mention about Odell Beckham is I really think that playing 8 yards off of him is the worst thing you can do if you're going to give him some screens like we were last year and some quick passes. And, you know, teams are doing it. And it really seems like anytime you play 8 yards off of them, you should just throw the quick screen and then force them to come play up on them. And then that's when the big plays will come for them. I mean, but I'm very happy with the pass distribution so far because you don't want to get predictable. I mean, you really do have to respect everybody. So I do love what McAdoo is doing. And I really think that he hasn't revealed at least 40% of his playbook yet. I think we're going to be seeing some new stuff here as the season gets more on the line.
Well, and as they get personnel healthy, you mentioned the balance. If you look at the last game, 24 passes.
Wow.
So, Christian, I think you brought up a great point there. I mean, that's an ideal number moving forward for this offense. And part of that is when you stay competitive, you're in games, you're able to have that balance too, and you're not playing from behind. With respect to your point about defenses, if they get too close on Odell Beckham, that could eventually open up the big gains. You use the Eagles game as an example, Christian. See, Philly played off of Odell Beckham early in the game.
Early in the game, yeah, but late in the game, they pressed him.
Then they pressed him, but the big play didn't open up. Keep in mind, they couldn't run the football, and pass protection
and the Eagles,
was a problem.
Oh, you can press him at the line of scrimmage. You put a safety over the top, there's your protection deep, too. So it all matters of the scheme you're playing. Christian, we appreciate the call, man. We got to run, okay?
All right, have a good one, man.
You too, bud. Christian. Let's squeeze in Greg in Virginia. He's going to wrap us up. Greg?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well, Greg. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Appreciate the show. Hey, I just wanted to point out there that I noticed a few weeks ago I saw an article about Barry Cofield. He's waiting to sign with a contender, and I was just thinking, you know, he was a captain on the Redskins, and he's 31, so he's not too old, but he's always been pretty stout, and I think he could be a nice add mid-season to, you know, maybe shore up the Rundy if it continues to be an issue. Obviously, for a cheap deal, I think he only played 8 games last year, but he's coming back from injury, and I think, you know, he could be a nice rotational player. And if we can get JPP back to at least be an end, and you bring Jenkins back full-time D-tackle, you know, you're rotating Jenkins, Hankins and Bromley and Cofield. I think he got a pretty stout D lineman. So, you know, I know Charlie's always talking about guys that are out there, and, you know, we're talking about names. So he just came to mind.
Well, as you mentioned, Cofield was banged up last season. I think it was an ankle injury that he had to deal with, and then he didn't get activated until probably like mid-November. I think it really depends on, you know, what type of health he's in right now. When a player usually is still a free agent, he may not be 100% healthy. That could still be an issue.
Oh, I totally agree. I was just thinking, you know, maybe even in a couple weeks, you know, if the Giants get a couple more wins, then, you know, we look like a contender, and maybe we'd be attractive to him, you know, try to...
Well, the other thing to keep in mind, Greg, and certainly, you know, I appreciate all the callers coming up with ideas and floating players' names out there, but, you know, remember, if you bring in a player like that, you're going to be taking snaps away from other players, and what Spags is doing right now. Well, no, I'm not referring to him specifically. I'm talking about even players like, you know, George Selvey, Robert Ayers. A lot of defensive ends, you know, have the versatility to be moved inside too. And Spags gets very creative. So, you know, you're not going to bring in a veteran who has an injury concern to then take away snaps of somebody who's younger and has a lot more upside. Owa is another guy who's now getting back to full health. So, you know, the depth is starting to come back. The rotation is there. I don't know necessarily if the biggest priority right now would be to add a defensive tackle, given the fact that you're getting some of these other big horses that you can line up on the defensive line.
Yeah, I see your point. I was just saying, like, if it was, you know, if Mark Ingram has a big game or something, or Doug Martin in the coming weeks, I'm like, oh, man, all of a sudden we have a pretty legitimate run defense, you know, concern, then he would be someone that would possibly be available. And I know he's not too old, and he has 4-3 experience. So I was just throwing it out there, but I appreciate the show, guys. And, you know, hopefully we get this win in New Orleans.
Well, thanks so much for the phone call, Greg. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. A couple tweets real quick. Silver Golfer, Coughlin is too old for the modern NFL. Offense is passing now. Balance, schmalance. Say that to the Dallas Cowboys last year. Say that to the Packers last year, who ran the ball with Eddie Lacy like crazy the last 7 weeks of the year. Let's see, where else can we go with that? Say that to the Saints this year, who are playing better because they're running the football. Trust me, guys, if you pass it every time, that's when you get interceptions, that's when you get sacks, that's when you run into trouble. At Tag Rocket, Amari Cooper has more receiving yards than OBJ on a putrid Raiders team, double exclamation point. Well, Donald, first of all, the Raiders are not putrid.
Yeah,
did you see
Did
you see what they did to the Chargers this past week? And number two, Beckham's dealing with a hamstring. And number three, Cooper's really the only big weapon on that Raiders offense. Who else they have thrown
Michael
the ball
Crabtree's to there? Having a pretty good season.
He's fine, but, you know, he isn't the same since he, you know, had those major injuries a couple
of
years ago.
They don't have a good tight end who can balance the load, and running backs don't really catch
and
a lot of passes for
when
them
the Raiders, when the Raiders get behind, they throw the ball a lot. That's the thing, too. So you're going to get some yards that way when games are when the games are out of hand. Let's see. Let's see. What else do we got here? I don't see anything else sticking out to me. So I guess we'll say goodbye for now. Tomorrow it'll be Anita Marks and David Deal at noon. Tom Coughlin's presser at 11. Stay tuned to Giants.com for everything going on, of course, with news, notes, and everything like that. For Lance, I'm Josh Mello. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time, everybody.
Have a good one.